Gordon Hayward is gone. It's a shocker. Didn't expect this. It's a bonus Locked On Celtics to talk about it all right now. Millie's, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter, and I am the host of the Locked On Celtics podcast, which is normally a Monday through Friday podcast, but today, Saturday evening, I'm recording a bonus podcast because Gordon Hayward has signed a four-year, $120 million deal with the Charlotte Hornets. It is surprising. It is very unexpected, which is what surprising is. I don't know what the right words are. I have said all along that I was not worried about a scenario like this because there wasn't a Philly out there like there was last year for Al Horford. But it turns out there was. Charlotte willing to pay Gordon Hayward 4 years and an average annual value of $30 million per year is just shocking. So I put it out on Twitter. Sometimes when you guys see me on Twitter and I'm going back and forth with people, I'm bouncing ideas. I'm trying to see what people are thinking. I'm trying to get reactions from everybody so I can hear what's the criticism. What are people saying? And so I push back on things just to get the arguments. I know Twitter is not indicative of everybody, but it's a sounding board. It's a place to throw these things out there so I can see what people are saying. And I am debating as well. So one of the things that I get back here is, well, Danny Ainge should have seen this coming. And I'm not sure anybody really could have. If you sit there and you say, well, Danny Ainge should have seen Gordon Hayward getting $30 million a year. No. You read the room, and Ryan McDonough, who used to work with the Celtics, went and ran the Suns, and now, after losing that job, is doing Scal and Pals podcast with Brian Scalabrine. But he's got all these contacts in the league, and he tweeted out, the market, canvassing the league, the market for Gordon Hayward seemed to be 4 years, $100 million. That was the top end. So for the Hornets to come out and spend $20 million more surprised everybody. I'm sure Danny Ainge thought 4 years, $100 million was going to be the going rate. What we don't know is what Indiana was willing to pay. So one of the pushbacks that I get was, Ainge should have seen it coming. And this is not something that anybody would have seen coming. It's ridiculous. I mean, you can try to prepare yourself for a stupid offer from somebody. And in that case, you're like, well, if they want to spend that much money, then they want to spend that much money. I really don't know what you can do. If you give a player a godfather offer and he walks for much, much more than you're willing to pay him, or another team is willing to pay him in a sign and trade, you're kind of stuck. The next pushback I got was, well, Danny should have done the deal with the Pacers and Charlotte never would have had this chance. So what we don't know is, did Indiana have a deal in place with Gordon Hayward? Now, we're looking at reports, and it's very important to know that people lie to the media all the time. They exaggerate their position, and the media has to make decisions. Hey, I'm hearing this. If you read their reports carefully, You can see how it's couched. We don't know exactly, but you get a little sense of like, well, maybe this is something the agent is feeding the media. Maybe this is something from a team. So we don't know. But one thing we haven't heard at all is that Indiana had agreed to a deal with Gordon Hayward. We had not heard that the Indiana Pacers worked with Gordon Hayward to come up with a contract structure and figure out what he wanted, what he was willing to take. So we don't know that. If he was willing to take 4 years, $100 million, let's say, and Danny Ainge was hemming and hawing, and there was a deal done, and he was just like, I don't want Miles Turner and McDermott. I want Oladipo. And if he said, hey, you sleep on it, you tell me in the morning, and then that allowed Michael Jordan to swoop in, talk to Gordon Hayward's agent, figure out that they were getting 4-100 and say, well, we'll give you 4-120. If that was the case, then Danny Ainge should bear some blame. Because if his kind of hesitancy to pull the trigger on a deal when Hayward had a deal in place with the Indiana Pacers, if that was all set and it was just on Danny Ainge to agree to the terms of the sign and trade, then Ainge blew it. If that's the case. Okay? We don't know if that's the case. We haven't heard that they were that far down the road on a contract. We haven't heard any of that stuff. All we know is we heard that Gordon Hayward wants to go play in Indiana. And the Celtics are working on a sign and trade. Now, from Danny Ainge's perspective, let's look at it from that perspective. If a player tells you, I want to go home to Indiana, and he says, okay, fine. We're going to work on a sign and trade. You want to go home to Indiana. Work out the contract. I'll work out the trade. But if you work out the contract with them and you want to go home to Indiana, that's cool. My thought from Danny Ainge's perspective is he wants to go to Indiana. I'm going to work on getting myself some players. I'm not worried about anything else because that's where he wants to go. That's the thought for me. I'm not worried about him shopping himself around. I'm not worried about him taking another deal. You blame Danny Ainge for hemming and hawing. And now what we don't know is that what Gordon Hayward actually told him? What did Gordon Hayward tell the Celtics? Did he tell the Celtics, I only want to go home to Indiana? Or, hey, if you can get something done with Indiana, I'll consider it, but I'm also exploring my options. So, I don't know what side of the debate you fall on, but there are so many different ways that this can go, that it's not just Danny Ainge blew it. It's possible that he blew it. It's possible that Hayward screwed him over. It's possible that they both were just like operating under the, hey, if we can get something done with Indiana, great. But in the meantime, I'm going to see what I can get on the open market. And hey, if you can't get a deal done, you can't get a deal done. Danny Ainge may not value Miles Turner. He might not want Miles Turner. You know, if that's, we spend all of this time thinking about, well, you got to get something. You got to get something for him. Well, okay, maybe you do have to get something. Like, yes, you want to bolster your bench. You want to be able to do what I've been saying. Take Gordon Hayward, flip him into useful players. But now the question becomes, if that's the case, if this is where we are, and the Celtics are talking to Indiana, does Danny Ainge want to commit to Miles Turner under the terms of that contract.
Miles Turner, under contract for 3 more seasons at $18 million.
Is that a commitment that Danny Ainge wants to make? Is he spending that money on a center? Does he want that? He wanted TJ Warren. What if he wanted TJ Warren and Doug McDermott, or TJ Warren and Victor Oladipo, or McDermott and Oladipo, and Indiana just didn't want him? I don't know. When you say get something for Hayward, yeah, you want to get something for Hayward, but like 3 more years of Miles Turner, is that something that fits your long-term plan? And if they're only doing something for Miles Turner, listen around the landscape, a lot of us aren't too thrilled with the idea of Miles Turner. And that changes a lot of the dynamics. Like, what are you trying to do with Robert Williams? Do you like Robert Williams? Do you want to develop Robert Williams? Do you think he can be your starting center at some point here? Then why are you going to pay $18 million to Miles Turner to sit on the bench when that $18 million can go somewhere else at some point? Or it can be when you factor in potential tax, you could be paying a lot more. So I don't know. These are all questions, but like when you're considering where you're sending your venom, there's a lot to consider here. So if Hayward told Danny Ainge, I only want to go to Indy, then Danny Ainge would probably sit there and be like, all right, give me time. I'm just going to negotiate a deal. I'm going to go through regular trade negotiations. We're going to have a certain strategy. And then if Charlotte swoops in and Hayward's like, oh, never mind, peace, I'm out, then it's Danny Ainge that got bamboozled, hoodwinked. If they're both working under the assumption like, hey, we're shopping ourselves around. If you can see what you can do with Indy, what's Indy willing to pay? What can we do with Indy? We'll take a little less to go to Indy. But how much less? That's the other question. If Charlotte says 120 over 4 years, and Indy says, no, we'll do 100 over 4, is he willing to give up $20 million over 4 years? Is he willing to give that money up? I don't know. Maybe not. It's $20 million. And you can sit there and say, well, it's only $20 million. $20 million is a lot of money. And so it sucks. And we don't know the full story. Maybe we'll never know the full story. It sucks to lose him for nothing. It sucks to not get at least some sort of favorable player. McDermott would have been great. TJ Warren would have been awesome. But the Pacers like those guys. So I don't know. I don't know what else to say about that particular situation. There's a lot of anger at Danny Ainge. It's funny, and it's hard to tell where the anger comes from, because when we're talking about Gordon Hayward opting out, I just saw a bunch of like, good, go, bye. And then he leaves, and then the reaction becomes, what, we didn't get anything for him? And it's probably different people, but it's just funny to see the reactions. It's all over the place. It really does hurt the Celtics, though. You're just not going to sign anybody up to Hayward's caliber. And really, a healthy Hayward, you can argue that he's a potential all-star. I would not be surprised if Hayward makes the all-star team. I would not be surprised at all. If he stays healthy, I would not be surprised at all. What can the Celtics do now? They're still over the cap because they have exceptions. You can look at the cap sheet and say, well, it looks like that they've got a little bit of cap space, but they don't really, because they can still guarantee Daniel Theis, and they got 2 draft picks that they've got to sign, and they have exceptions that will, if they use them, take them over the cap. So unless they renounce those exceptions, a mid-level worth $9 million, a biannual worth $3 million, unless they renounce those and say, hey, we're not going to use those, like then they could use cap space, but then they would be creating, like if they renounce cap space,
if they renounce their exceptions, Javonte Green and Semi Ojeleye, and they guarantee Daniel Tice, then they'll have about $12 million to spend. A little less, 11. By using their exceptions, they have a a little bit more than 9.2 mid-level, non-taxpayer mid-level, and a 3.6 biannual. So that's about $13 million. Now, the only downside to this, if you're just weighing out the options, the cap space is about $11 million, and you can just use that $11 million. The mid-level is 9.2. You can't combine that with the biannual to say we're going to spend $13 million. You have to spend up to 9.2 on one guy and up to 3.6 on another. So, but at the same time, there aren't many people. If you're going to pay somebody 9.2, that extra $2 million, there's nobody that's going to be out there that really makes a difference that's worth that extra $2 million. So, those are the Celtics' options. They have that money. They have a $5 million trade exception from the Enes Kanter deal. They have a $2.5 million exception from the Vincent Poirier deal. And they can sign minimum contracts at any time. The trade exceptions also cannot be combined with anything else. They can trade for a player from some other team that makes $5 million and take him into that exception. They can't take a player that makes $6 million and combine those exceptions to do that. It's just a $5 million player and a $2.5 million player separately. You can split them up. You could do three $2.5 million players, take two into the Kanter exception and one into the other one. And now we're, you know, your eyes are crossing at this point. But the Celtics have some options to fill out the end of their bench, but their bench is going to stay thin. They're going to stay thin. And so what can they get? Who can they get? They're looking at like the Glenn Robinsons who are out there that probably could make $5 million. And so those are the types of players. You know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, although like, but that level of player. Like, I don't think that he's going to sign with Boston. I think he wants to go back to LA for obvious reasons. But that's the level of player the Celtics are going to get. Which means Aaron Nesmith is going to be a contributor right away, and he better be ready pretty quickly. Hopefully that foot is 100% because he's going to be asked to do a lot. He immediately becomes a necessary player. Do the Celtics bring back Semi Ojeleye? Do they bring back Brad Wanamaker? Do they bring back Javonte Green? Those guys are all kind of floating out there. Those are known quantities, known entities. You know, that's, but the entire point of all of this is it really sucks that Hayward left without getting something back, something useful, players that Ainge believed in, because now they're stuck. And that fuels the, well, you should have gone for Miles Turner because he's better than whatever we're going to get here. And there's validity to that. There is validity to that, for sure. It really puts the Celtics in a bad spot. So the starters next season, this upcoming season, with the short turnaround, I mean, this really is worst case scenario. Kemba Walker, who I don't know how his knee is doing. Jason Tatum, who hasn't signed his max contract extension. Which, by the way, I don't care about right now. Like, I don't think that's a problem. I think he's expected to sign that deal. The only thing I think is like a negotiation of what that contract is going to be. If there is a negotiation, maybe Danny Ainge was like, we're going to do it. Let me deal with Gordon first and then I'll get to you. But we've got a deal. Basically, in principle, we'll finalize things. That could simply be it. I will say I did expect that to be done at this point. So I don't know why there's a delay.
But I expect that to be done.
So you've got Kemba, Tatum, Brown, still Daniel Tice, and then Marcus Smart potentially. Maybe they go in a different direction in the starting lineup to have Marcus Smart kind of bolster that bench, because you're going to need somebody good coming off of that bench. You're going to need somebody good to be playing against second units to kind of take advantage of that. And you can bump up Tatum's minutes a little bit. You can bump up Jaylen Brown's minutes a little bit. They're young. They can handle a little extra workload. Depending on how the rest of this works out. And who knows? Maybe Grant Williams could step up and be a bigger help. You know, maybe Nesmith is hitting like 2-3 three-pointers a game. You know, maybe Pritchard can come in and actually be a useful player. I don't know. I have no idea. But yeah, they're limited in their options. After that, after Marcus Smart, I don't know. Robert Williams is going to have to step up. He's going to have to produce. They're going to have to get something out of him. That's a big deal now. That's a bigger deal. Marcus Smart is super important. That backup point guard is super important with Kemba and his knee being an issue. That's all really important. So the Celtics can do things, but they're in a tough spot. Milwaukee is still really good. They got a little bit better. Brooklyn got a little bit better. Philly got better. I think when you look at the tiers right now, those are going to be the top three teams, and Boston is in that next tier with Toronto, who kept Fred VanVleet. Like, that's going to be the fight. The question now, my immediate reaction is, does Jason Tatum elevate his game to make up for some of this? Does Jaylen Brown elevate his game to make up for some of this? If those two guys do it, then that's a different story. If Kemba can get healthy and stay healthy, that's a different story. The bench is still a certain issue. But we'll see what Danny Ainge does. There's still room to do stuff. As of right now, as I record this, there's not a lot going on as far as other signings for the Boston Celtics. I hope that helped. I hope that talked you through some of this stuff. I know a lot of people want to be angry and want to figure out who to be mad at. I don't know the answer to that. I'm sorry. I know people want to be, you know, want answers at a time like this. There are not a lot. And we'll try to figure that out. So this is a bonus podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. If you're a first-time listener, hope you appreciated it. And subscribe back Monday, unless something monstrous happens. But back Monday with full reaction. And maybe I'll bring somebody else on to try to talk through some stuff. And then we'll go back to our Monday through Friday grind. Because we're just a couple of weeks, less than a couple of weeks from the beginning of workouts. The season opener is a month away. So, lots happening, and it's happening quickly. So subscribe if you haven't subscribed. Regular listeners, a 5-star rating and a good written review would be amazing. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.